Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Hasn't this been a marvelous week with Rabbi Kahn? I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we are so, we are so excited about you. We're excited about you, your spirit, your word, and what you're doing among us right now is so overwhelming, and we're grateful. And we serve you with gratitude for the abundance of all things. And we praise you for this broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sir, oh, I got to tell you, this is so rich and so good. You have talked about at least twice this week about the train hitting you. I want to hear the whole story. I'm just give you testimony. I want to hear it all.
Okay, but feel free to come in here. I'm born, Jewish. I'm Jewish. I was born in a Reformed Jewish home. My father grew up under Hitler, and he was there. And when Hitler came to power, the German Jews sent their kids out.
Yeah.
And they sent him out on trains, and he came out. They sent him out, came to England. In England, they when the war started, they rounded up all the Jews and the Germans, Jew and Nazi, because they thought they might be spies. They rounded them all up. They rounded up my father, put him on a ship to go across the Atlantic to go into a prison camp in Canada. And he was literally on a ship with Nazis as they went across the ocean. And the ship before him sunk. And so he went over, they put him in prison, they were in prison. And after a while, you had the older Jewish people and the younger Jewish people, and the older ones were teaching the younger ones an education. They used toilet paper to teach them,
like
scientists teaching them.
That's
And so the Jewish people always like surviving,
Amen.
So finally the Canadians realized, wait a minute, these aren't war criminals. And gradually he got out. Education, science, became a scientist, came to America, met my mother. My mother's family escaped the Tsar of Russia. The Tsar was saying, we're going to destroy all the Jews.
Yeah.
A third of them will convert, a third of them will drive out, and a third of them will kill. And so they escaped, came to America. I mean, when you're Jewish, you're always escaping something, It's always on the run. And that's prophecy. God said it.
That's right.
So they came. So she ended up in Brooklyn, ended up becoming a scientist. They too met as scientists, got married, had three kids. I was the boy. There was two girls. And so grew up in a Reform Jewish home. That means it's the least religious of the religious, not Orthodox, not conservative, Reform. But I went to Hebrew school. They sent me to Hebrew school. I was there all the time. And learning about God, and I saw film strips of the prophets and David and God moving and all that. And I loved that. But when I was about 8 years old, I said, wait a minute. Doesn't match up. I have the films, I have God moving, but God's not moving here. I don't see the God of the Bible here. I mean, it was liturgy and, reading the thing, but nobody said, hey, God's in my life, or God did this for me. The rabbi didn't get up and say, hey, God spoke to me today. It just didn't happen. I said, this doesn't go because this is what's in the Bible. So I said, all right, there's no God. It's all false. So I became an atheist when I was 8 years old. So that atheist, now that lasted for a little while, but after a while I said, wait a minute, atheism doesn't work. I started losing faith in atheism. I said, it doesn't work. He said, there's got to be something. There's got to be a reason behind it. So I started seeking. I'm searching everything I could. I'm searching, books on science, on religion, on the occult, on UFOs, Nostradamus, Chariots of the Gods, if you remember back then. And so I'm open, and it's kind of God got me through the back door. I was an atheist, but now I started being open to more, but not the right way. But so one day I'm in the store and I look at a book it looks like Chariot of the Gods. It looks like it's a UFO book. So I said, let me get this book. I get this book. God tricked me because it was the book he gave me. The book was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey.
Oh, my.
But that year, they made it look like a UFO book. And, because that was, I thank God for those little quirks,
Sure.
And so I picked it up and he said, is this the generation that Jesus and Moses spoke of? I said, well, all right. Now I read about Jesus. You know, Jesus was in everything. You know, growing up Jewish, you know, we thought Jesus was cool. You know, I mean he was like a hippie, you know, growing up in the 60s. But it was, you know, Christianity and the church, we had a Catholicism we had a problem with, but Jesus, there was some cool, but didn't think he was Jewish. We thought if he was Jewish, he converted and became Catholic. That's what we thought, you know. So, but you know, the one thing you can never believe in as a Jewish person is Jesus. You know, you can be a Buddhist, you can be an atheist, you can be a communist, but the one time you believe in the Jewish rabbi Jesus, that's it, you know. So I said, wow, that's amazing. Jesus must be some special because he's the only one who can make a Jewish person not Jewish. That must be the Messiah. Because everybody's, and whenever you read different things, they're all pointing to Jesus, all pointing to Jesus. You know, the Hindus point to, I mean, the Buddhists, but Jesus points to himself. So here I'm open to it because I was reading about Jesus. So I'm open. I'm telling my friends. I'm a teenager now. I'm telling my friends about the second coming, about Israel. You know, it's all about what the Bible said is coming true. Sure. Israel has to come back. It's back. Jerusalem is all back. So I'm saying, wow, I never knew anything about this. So I'm telling my friends, I'm not saved, but I'm leading them to the Lord. I'm winning them to the Lord. So I'm winning them. They were one after the other. And I'm literally, I'm living as a teenager. I had a rock band and you know, did what a teenager does and all that. And I didn't want to give that up. I remember being in speech class. You had to give a speech in high school. And I preached the whole time. I preached about the second coming, about the end time prophecy. I'm preaching as a Jewish person.
You're still doing it.
I'm still doing it, maybe that was preparation, but I don't want to give it up because I think if you give up, if you go to the Lord, you give up everything good, you check in, you join a monastery, check in, and that's the end of your life. So I said, Lord, I know you're the truth, because as it's going on, I'm saying, wait, it's not just not Nostradamus, that doesn't work. Only the Bible, everything it said has come true. And so then it's like the Lord, it's not just, you can't just talk about this, Jonathan. He's coming back and you're not right with him. So I said, okay, Lord, I know I have to get right, but I don't want to get right because I don't want to do that, you know. So I want to keep doing what I'm doing. So I made a deal with God, you know, and it's very Jewish to make deals with God, you know. So I made a deal with God, except he's a lot better than we are. So I made a deal and I said, God, if you give me a long life, I'll accept you when I'm on my deathbed. That was the deal. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna live a long life, and then when I'm finished, I'll follow God, you know, when I'm about to die. So what happened is soon after I made that deal, I was almost killed twice. The first time I'm in a car with a guy who I was part of leading the Lord, and we almost get killed, a car accident, almost get killed. It was miraculous that we didn't get killed. Okay, but it didn't, all right. But then a few months later, I'm in a Ford Pinto, which used to blow up on impact, yeah. You know, and I'm heading to a train track at night, and the light is going on like the train's coming, but all the other cars are crossing. So I said, well, maybe it's broken. So let me go up. So I kind of go, I go up and let me see if it's coming. I look and I see a light, and the light is the train, but it didn't look like it was moving much because it was coming head on. I'm on the track. I didn't realize I was on the track. It was a dangerous intersection. There was no protection. And it was on an angle, on a bumpy road, and people had been killed on that track. So I'm on the track waiting for the train. And, you know, last minute I said, you know what, maybe just to be safe, maybe I'm too close, just to be safe. So let me try to back up a little. So I'm going to back up, but I look in the, now there are headlights in back of me, you know, and the train's coming, headlights in back. So I said, well, let me just back up like a foot. I'm just being safe. So I back up a foot. I'm still in the path of the train. So I'm waiting for the train to come. The train comes and plows into the Ford Pinto. The car goes up like aluminum foil. The only thing I could get out of my mouth at that moment was call out to God. It's the only thing I can do. I called out to God, and the car is destroyed. And I didn't get a scratch.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't get a scratch. It made the headlines, all this stuff. The police came out of the car. And I said, Lord, I said, can we renegotiate? Can we renegotiate?
Let's redo this deal right
please,
now.
Please, because, you know, I said, give me a long life, but that life was coming, you know, that my death day was coming very shortly. I said, like, and I was literally, you know, people come to the Lord for good reasons, all that. And for me, listen, I mean, it doesn't matter how you come. I was afraid of going to hell. You know, I realized that within inches or within an inch, that was my eternity. That was it. And I was afraid if I keep going, I mean, there was a car, then it was a train. It's gonna be an asteroid, something, meteorite, something's gonna happen. I'm numbered. You know. So I said, Lord, I said, let's make a new deal, please, a new deal. Here's the new deal. I'll accept you now. when I turn 20. Just don't kill me until I turn 20. That was my deal. So, and it was about 8 months, 9 months away. So what happened was, like a man whose time was up, like it was a contract, it was like, came to my 20th birthday and I said, okay, you know, I gave you my word. I didn't know how to get saved. Nobody was leading me. I didn't know what to do. I remember from Hebrew school is that Elijah met the Lord on a mountain, you know, and God met Moses on a mountain. So let me find a mountain. So I look around for a mountain. You know, so I find a mountain, it's night. I go get up to the top of the mountain. I get on the top. That's what I told you. I see this tower. It says Tower of Babel. I said, you know, that's my life. I don't want that. I go over. I find a rock, a flat rock near a tree. I kneel down and I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have, you know, but I'm giving my life to you. I put my faith in you. Just take it from there on in. That's how I came to the Lord, because of that locomotive train. If it wasn't for that train, I wouldn't be saved. I thank God for the train. You know, it says Jews demand signs. I needed a train. That's what, because we're stuck. We can be stubborn. You know, and from that moment, I remember that first thing. I said, okay, now what? You know, I said, you know, I thought when you come to the Lord, because people have been coming, I've been talking about people and they were coming to the Lord, you know, and one of them said when they came to the Lord, it was like lightning came through them, you know. I said, so Lord, I thought like you pray to the Lord and something like a bell rings or something says, you know, number 503, you know, gets in, you know, I thought the gig was some sign. And I didn't see a sign, you know, but I realized that first week it was like there was a presence within me that I couldn't curse anymore. Oh, yeah. There was something, it was like having a jacket on you that you never had before.
Yeah.
And you know, then you get used to it. It's on you. And my life started changing. Now my parents, you know, were not happy. You know, they didn't want to hear about Jesus. You know, I mean, when you're Jewish, you're raised, that's the one thing, and you can't believe in Jesus. But the thing is but they liked the effect of Jesus. They liked the sign of Jesus. They liked what happened to me because it was Jesus. You know, that was great. But the thing is, you know, I was called after this. Talk about like mysteries and how God speaks. I was called later on, you know, I was called to go to the nations, and I would always end up being called to go up a mountain. I mean, always, like, and it usually was a witchcraft mountain, voodoo mountain, something, some supernatural thing happened on the top of the mountain. But something was happening. Well, the time came, it was my anniversary in the Lord, and I said, you know, it was my birthday. You know, I got saved on my birthday. I said, let me go back. Let me visit that mountain again. So I go up the mountain at night. This time I bring a shofar and a shawl, you know, and a Bible and a flashlight. And I find the stone where I gave my life to the Lord, and I'm just praying, and I open the Bible, and just happened to open to where Jacob returned to the place where he found the Lord, you know, Bethel. But then I said, okay, that's interesting. And I just opened again, and it opens to a scripture. It says, the enemy says, I have your mountains, Israel. I said, that's weird. I'm on a mountain, you know. But didn't I had a great time, blew the shofar. Next day, I'm in the congregation, Beth Israel. And at the end, somebody's waiting for me online with a present, a gift. And it's a woman. And it says, you know, we know it's your birthday. So they bought a picture. It's a drawing they bought of a man blowing a shofar with a tallit on top of a mountain. I said, that's weird. I said, because that was me last night. I said, this was my anniversary in the Lord. It's my birthday. And they said, really? I said, yeah, I got saved on a mountain. And the woman says, what mountain? I said, well, you don't know the mountain. I don't know the mountain. I know where it is. But he said, no, what mountain? I said, well, I described it for her. And the woman says, I live at the bottom of that mountain. I said, really? She said, do you know what that mountain is? I said, no. She said, that mountain's dedicated to Satan. I said, really? I said, I got saved on the top. She said, that's where they gather. I said, really? I said, I kneeled down on the rock and gave my life to the Lord. They said, that's the altar. And here's the thing, brother, here's the thing. I remember when I was there on the mountain, I saw words in graffiti that said, no Jew shall enter these sacred grounds. And I said, who on earth, what Nazis are, who would write that? Satan worshipers, Satan would write that. And it hit me, I said, you know what? For 2,000 years, Satan has been trying to keep the Jewish people from their Messiah. He's been trying to keep the Jewish people from that mount. Yeah. He literally is on that mountain in Jerusalem. I mean, here's where salvation comes. You know, it was the mountain of my salvation, you know. And the enemy was trying everything he could. He's tried everything he could to keep them, because he knows when the Jewish people come back to him, that's it. Yeah. When he comes back to the Messiah, that's it. He's tried everything. And I said, you know what, too late, Satan. I'm in, you know. And I realized the whole big picture. You know, you have the Temple Mount. You know, that's where Jesus is coming. That's where he's going to reign. And the enemy puts up that mosque, puts up this my mountain. The enemy says, I have your mountain. This is the enemy. The enemy will always, I mean, you know this, I'm preaching to the choir, but the enemy will always try to put a blockage on God's promise. Yeah. You have God's promise, God's land, and he will always try to put that there. But the thing, I mean, the key is, you know, when the Jewish people first came to that land, there were enemies in there. They had a fight, and we have to fight for the promise. The promise is given. It's given. But we have to take the land. We have to take that land. You know, the enemy tried for 2,000 years to stop the Jewish people. He tried to wipe them out. That's the secret. That's why the world has tried to destroy them. No people have had everything against them like they have. He's tried everything he could for 4,000 years to wipe them out, but he could not do it because the God of Israel is alive and well. The God of our Bible is powerful and mighty, and nothing stops it. Every power that tried to destroy the Jewish people is gone. Every empire is fallen, but Israel, the weakest little nation on earth, has survived them all.
Yeah.
Because the God of Israel is real. The word of God, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Even if it's 2,000 years, if he keeps that, Amen. He doesn't forget the 2,000 years, he's not going to forget the promises to us. God is real and nothing stops. And he's promised also, before the end of the age comes, the Jewish people are coming back. We're coming back. This is part of his prophecy. This is part of the sign that he's alive, that he's coming back, and Amen. That he's coming soon.
And it's right now.
Amen.
I believe it with all my heart.
It is. It is. No nation, you know, we believers for ages have prayed, oh Lord, that we could see the day that Israel would come back, would be alive. You said, and a lot of people gave up on the word of God. A lot of people said, you know, this is never happening. He's never bringing them back. You know, it's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. It's all the church replaced Israel. No. God said it, and you know, no matter what, God didn't go along with the plan. You know, God said, I'm going to bring them back. He did. That's what took me from an atheist to believe in God. He said it. He did it. He said he'd give them Jerusalem. He did it. He said the whole world be focusing on Israel. It is.
Yes,
he said the world will be against Israel. It is. But he said, as long as the stars are in the high, as long as the sun and the moon are there, as long as it's there, Israel shall not pass away from being a nation before me. They are my witnesses. As long as God is, they're there, because God is real. We have the only God, you know, in the world, who's the only God who has the witness of God in history that he is so real.
Now, that brings us right back to the harbingers.
Yeah.
That brings us right back to the mysteries. The uncanny timing and detail of all of that, In my heart and mind, that's the reason he's done this.
Yes.
Because it is absolute evidence.
Yes. You were talking before off the air, but you know, to think of, for one prophecy to come true, for one prophecy, I mean, just think Mary and Joseph, you know, they had to be the exact people. They had to be born from the two exact people who fell in love before them and who fell in love before them. And everything in the world, you know, everything in the world's connected. You know, every event in the world, it's called the butterfly effect. Every single thing affects everything else. So every event in the world had to come, be an exact place for the prophecy to come true. And that's not just true in then, it's true now. Israel came back, that's prophecy. That means everything in the world, in our lives, in our grandparents' lives, everything had to be in its place for God to do it. He's the God of every detail.
And here we sit.
Yeah, here we are.
We're part of that detail.
Isn't it awesome?
You're part of that detail. This is what just so, and it just has me so stirred up in my spirit and in my soul. We are part of this detail working of the Spirit of God right now. What you pray counts. What you think counts. What you do counts. And it'll count on one side or the other. You can't just go off and just do any old thing you want to do without it counting for destruction. It's all part of a woven network of destruction that Satan's been trying to do all this time. And every negative word, every cursed expression that goes forth is all detail of that. But the moment you made Jesus Christ of Nazareth your Lord and Savior, boom, your whole part of it just exploded in his face. And now, here we are, pulling on heaven. Our prayers count, glory to God. What we pray means something to God. And when we call on him, we intercede for this outpouring. You're interceding for your family. An intercessor is one that stands in the gap. There was a time when God said, I have no intercessor. Can you imagine a whole world, nobody interceding? But God took care of it.
Yes.
And now look at it. There's not just one of us, or two of us, or 50 of us, or a million of us. There's tens of millions of us all over this world pulling on heaven, man.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Watchmen, he says, watchmen, don't give up.
Don't quit.
Don't quit and keep reminding God until he makes Jerusalem a praise.
You know, there's something about the praisers.
Yeah.
When Jehoshaphat,
yes.
All this big enemies coming.
Yes.
You know, I thought for a long, long time that God told him to put those singers up there, but he didn't. Mm. Jehoshaphat inquired of the people, and they decided, we're going to praise God. Mm. It's his battle and our victory.
Yes.
Can you imagine what each one of those guys thought
yes.
when they're out there in front yes. of this and they're in their own mind? You know how the devil yes. works. In their own mind, they're thinking, man, I hope this works. That's yes. a sacrifice of praise.
yes.
They were sacrificing
yes.
themselves.
Yes.
They're believing this is going to work.
That's right.
But this battle not over yet.
That's right. That's right. The armies of Israel, and the praise is a weapon. And I mean, I know you know this, but and the word Jew, it says we are all spiritually
yes,
Jewish.
Yes, we are.
And the word means the praiser of God, Yehuda, one who praises God, one who gives thanks
That's
to God.
That's who we are.
And it comes from the root word Yad, which is an open hand that praises God, is also the hand that receives the blessings from God.
That is, say it again.
The word for Jew is one who praises God. If you are spiritual, you are the one who praises God no matter what. And the word Yehudi comes from Yad, which means a hand, the open hand. The open hand of praise is the same hand that receives the blessings from
the
God.
The outpouring.
Yeah.
That's
what. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Glory
yeah.
to God.
Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Amen.
Let's do it. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise
oh,
the Lord.
We receive
hallelujah.
It, Lord. We
Praise
take
you,
it
Father.
By faith in the name
yes.
of Jesus.
Yes.
And we're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.